Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Listen, we are going in right now to interview with Tom Horn and Chris Putnam, where Sid Roth is interviewing him. And this is the fourth part of a 10-part interview. You got to hear this. This is our last pope, according to prophecies, what they're saying. And he will do the very same thing that this pope did with Hitler out there. Listen up.
Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word, means family, and we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man, getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. I have on the telephone Tom Horn. Tom is co-author of the book we've been speaking about, Exo Vaticana. You're probably familiar with their best-selling book, which is called Petrus Romanus, and it's subtitled, The Final Pope is Here. Now, why did you jump, Tom, from the book about the final pope to a book about extraterrestrial things that the Catholic Church are involved in? What's the connection?
That's a great question. You know, we had last year we were doing shows on Petrus Romanus. We were making spectacular predictions based on all of our research. We actually went out on a limb and said Pope Benedict would not die in his office, but in fact he would abdicate the throne and he would cite health reasons for doing so. And we even gave the dates, and we turned out to be extraordinarily correct, which of course then has kept our phone ringing off the hook. But what a lot of people don't know is that when we were doing shows on Petrus Romanus last year, several times we did shows in which the question also came up of the what people call the Vatican ET connection. You know, why have leaders of the Vatican been out there talking about chances being better than not that official disclosure of intelligent alien life is going to be made in the very near future? And then it also seemed like they were accommodating some of their theology to be able to embrace that reality. And so anytime we would bring that up, those shows would rocket to be the top shows in the world. We did one on Blog Talk Radio with a friend of mine, and we only talked about Petrus. That became the number one show in the world for 1 week. I came back a couple of weeks later, and we did a show on the Vatican ET connection, also tying it into some of these prophecies, and that became the number one talk show in the world for 6 weeks. And so what we started realizing is that what we had really only considered in the first book to just be a nominal issue, the public was connecting with it in a way that they seemed to understand or they were more interested in. The prophecy of the popes itself was maybe a bit more complex than the average individual could wrap their mind around or care about. But the idea, you know, that the Vatican spokesperson were out there saying official disclosure is coming soon and it's going to dramatically impact Christianity as we know it. Now, this is something people around the world could really kind of, you know, become alert to and wanted to know about. And so it just seemed the right thing to do, that we had to take the next step and do a thorough investigation. And the new book, Exo Vaticana, is actually even larger. It's over 600 pages in a 6x9 trim with almost 1,000 authoritative endnotes.
I think that when people find out your background, they're going to understand why God has handpicked you to be involved in this project. Now, you have been an Assembly of God pastor for over 25 years. Tell me a bit about a year after you came to the Lord, what happened to you?
Well, this truly was a supernatural event. And I was a very young Christian. I was so sincerely seeking the Lord, Sid. I mean, I would go to work, and I did my job like I was supposed to do. But, you know, I was in the union, so we got breaks every 2 hours. We got a 15-minute break. And every time I got a break, I would be in the back room of this building in the dark on my knees just seeking God so passionately, wanting to be used by God. And one night, something very supernatural did, in fact, occur. In that I went to bed with my wife. The next thing I know, I'm standing in front of just what is brilliant, just this brilliant light that I can't even explain. I can't say that I saw a form or an outline or something like that, but what I knew in my mind was that I was standing before the throne of God. And he had told me something. The Lord had told me something. But now he had said, it is time now for you to return, and you won't remember what I've told you. Well, my rational mind kicked in, right? And I started saying, but Lord, wait a minute. This is too great. This is too wonderful. Please don't let me forget. And I started dropping. I started falling backwards. And this was very, very real to me. At that moment, this was happening. And I could see heaven kind of departing very quickly, as if you had fallen out of an airplane and you were following with your face up towards the sky. It was all moving away from me very quickly. And all of a sudden, I saw the roof of my house go around me. I just went through it, and it went around me, and I hit the bed. And at that moment, Sid, I breathed in very deeply. I went, and I literally sat up in bed. Now, I was awake. I was really awake, and I was sitting there. And I heard my wife just bawling her eyes out. And I turned and I looked, and here was my wife, Nita, sitting in the bed next to me, and she was just crying and crying. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. And as the moments unfolded, she explained to me that she had woke up in the middle of the night, and I was dead as a doornail. I had no breath. I had no pulse. In fact, my body was already cold, and she was shaking me and beating on me. And this went on for maybe 10 minutes. I was completely unaware that it was even happening. So I was quite literally dead. And she was beating on my chest. She finally gave up. She was just about to crawl out of bed and dial 911 and tell everybody their husband died, when suddenly I woke up and I came out of it, and my heart started beating again. Nothing like that has ever happened since that time. And I've always known, Sid, that the Lord allowed that to happen, for my wife to wake up and find me in that condition, so that I would never doubt the fact that this was a supernatural event. Otherwise, you know how it is. Time goes by, and after a while, the enemy comes in, and he starts telling you, well, you ate too many chili beans or something. You know, it wasn't real. But the Lord allowed her to find me in that condition, and for so many minutes that it was beyond the fact that it could have been coincidental. But then what happened was, I went to my pastor, and he really kind of, well, first of all, he didn't know how to deal with it. I was looking for an answer. My question was this: why in the world, if this came from God, and I believe it did, why would God tell me anything and then allow me to forget it? That just didn't make any sense, right? And so my pastor didn't get it either. But I happened to be reading through the Bible. This was the first time in my life. I was a young Christian. I was reading through the Bible, and I happened to be in the book of Job, when all of a sudden my eyes fell on this place in Job where it says, in the nighttime, in deep sleep, in slumberings upon the bed, then God seals the instructions of the righteous within them to hide pride from man. And I saw that verse, and I mean, here I'm a young Christian. I don't know anything really about theology, but the light just went on that whatever this was, God had sealed these instructions within me. And when the times were right, down through life, if I continued to commit myself to the Lord, whenever I was sincerely seeking whether I should go left, whether I should go right, what should I do, God had sealed this information within me. And when the time was right, he would let me know. Now, that little part on the end that says, to hide pride from man, I really got that later in life. That is, as a very young believer, I would have made two mistakes if I had known where God was going to take me. First of all, if I had known I was going to pastor, you know, very large churches, actually, for 25 years, be an executive in the largest evangelical institution in the world, see myself on television and preaching and going to these large conferences and speaking, if I had saw that as a young Christian, two mistakes. One, I certainly could have been lifted up with pride, and that's what that text says, that he does that to hide pride from man, to keep us from our errors. And secondly, I would have just made a beeline towards towards the end game. I mean, I would have just aimed right at whatever I thought God wanted me to do, and I would not have gone through all those very important lessons, the hard lessons and the good lessons that you learn that temper your steel, your metal, as a believer.
Right? And let me tell you, you have to have your metal tempered with what you're tackling right now. I mean, I don't think you realize how huge this is, this Exo-Vaticana. But I also see that you had some personal stories with relatives having to do with aliens.
Yeah, and in fact, you know, for the first time in this book, Exo-Vaticana, I am telling a very large part of one of the biggest secrets that has to do with part of my family. It's a secret. I've kept it buried my entire adult life. It's remained sealed partly due to actually a binding agreement, a settlement between members of my family, state authorities, and federal investigators. And part of this has to do with a family member who was a nuclear physicist with the uppermost security clearance doing research in a nuclear and biological warfare at General Atomics in San Diego, California. And at one point, he was transferred from General Atomics to Los Alamos National Laboratory in northern New Mexico, where he was involved with a top-secret project, the details of which my family was oblivious to. Of course, that's the same facility that was founded during World War II as a covert laboratory to coordinate the Manhattan Project, right? The Allied undertaking to develop the first nuclear weapons. But sinisterly, it's also been connected to an alleged secret alien underground facility beneath the Archuleta Mesa on the New Mexico border near Dulles. It's been connected to genetic experiments on humans, UFOs, even the claim that five alien bodies, extraterrestrial biological entities, had been recovered from 1947 at the Roswell crash site and then sent to a safe house there at the Los Alamos National Laboratory. So it has all that history. But it was during that time, while he was conducting top-secret research with the U.S. government at Los Alamos, that one night he came home. Now, at that time, you have to realize that none of these people were living Christian lives. I was the only one at that time in my family that was a Christian. And he came home, and under the influence of alcohol, he stated that the laboratory where he was working was involved with the so-called alien agenda.
You can't possibly understand end times without these two books. They document secret files in the Vatican Library and belief in aliens. Petrus Romanus, The Last Pope, is the first book, hidden in Vatican libraries 900 years ago. There was a vision of the next 112 popes, stunning accuracy of the first 111. Now, this last pope will take office for the final judgment. The second book, literally just off the press, not available in bookstores exclusively with our ministry, is called Exo-Vaticana. It documents the Vatican plans for arrival of an alien god with a small g from another planet and complete reevaluation of Christianity from the Vatican. Both books available for a gift of $35. I'm interrupting this telecast with a special announcement. We have a new pope, St. Francis. According to the Malachi prophecy, he had to be a Roman. Did you know that this new pope's parents were from Italy? Roman? Not only that, he's the first Jesuit to ever be pope. And as you've just heard, the Jesuits are involved with the aliens.
You just listened to Sid Roth interview Tim about his book, and it is the fourth part, by the way, of understanding this, the times that we're in. Somebody says, well, is that possible? Well, if you go back and listen to the previous segments that we've already had, we biblically talk about the scriptures that he's talking about, and obviously it's in his book as well. But in that when you put all this together and you look at how the Pope during the days of Hitler signed a covenant and agreement with Hitler, who was going to persecute the church and the Jews. Mm-hmm. And he hoodwinked the church. He hoodwinked them. He was planning on burning all the Bibles and writing his own. As a matter of fact, he did do that there and wrote his own and ripped out the Ten Commandments and wrote 12 commandments. I mean, he wasn't even satisfied with 10. Mm-hmm. And the goal, of course, you have to understand, don't think about men. Think about Ephesians chapter 6. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, powers, principalities, dark spirits. Understand this, that they actually have permission from an individual, and we give permission to them because God's given each of us authority through sin. If we walk around in open sin, we are totally open to the control of the adversary in our life. Even if we're Christians, but we walk around and are in open sin, that's an open door. And the enemy can take you and use you for his purposes. Somebody says, that's not true. Well, why did Jesus say to Peter, when Peter was taken over at that moment with sin and said, don't go to Jerusalem, Jesus said, Peter, let's talk about this a little bit. That's not what he said. He said, get behind me, Satan. Why? Because he said that your tongue has been set. He says, this is what James, the brother of Jesus, said. He says, the tongue is set on fire by hell. And so the words we speak, everything, that all these words, look at the power of words and the power of speech. People go, that's a great speech. That's not a big deal. It's just a speech. Well, sad to say, that's how easy it is to change things. You just give a good speech and people go, they just buy into it. And my goodness. So here we are listening to the fourth of the 10 interviews, Sid Roth, with a deep understanding of the Malachi prophecies. He's interviewing Tom Horn and Chris Putnam, and we're seeing firsthand that's a doable thing. It is a doable thing. It's been done in the past, and it looks like it's going to be used again. But this time, by the way, it appears, based on what we're hearing, based on what we're seeing, the convergence. You can listen to Wednesday's Word on broadcast on VFN Radio, that it's just converging. Whether you like it or not, it's happening in your generation and our generation, and we don't want to buy in to the adversary's destruction of the church. Listen, this is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, and not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark. It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations, or Aryan-type conversations, or Iranian or Muslim-type conversations, or political, which is type conversations. Or you could listen to VFN Radio, and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's Word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said, this is the study that you heard on VFN Radio, the second segment, VFN Radio, was that Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church. And they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing. And then they're coming into the churches, and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand, and hopefully it'll be a link on this post right here if you're watching, listen to this on VFN, off the VFN torch. But as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians. And the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. That'll be a part of this post, I'm sure, on the VFN torch if you're hearing it off of that as well. Look down, related articles. This is so important. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.